Hey, all right, we're going to continue with overcoming temptation. And the Lord woke me up last night. I didn't have a good night's sleep, so you guys are in trouble. Because when he wakes me up and I have to change stuff, I know it's from him. And this is what he wants you to know right off the bat. Overcoming temptation, it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. And a heart issue is where we find our endurance, our motivation, the ability to keep on keeping on, the ability to fight. Head knowledge, how many know this? Head knowledge by itself gets you nowhere. How many of us have known many things that are not good for us, but we do them anywhere because we don't have the heart to fight? We don't have the heart to fight through and actually win. So, and this is what you need to know since we're dealing with temptation is, how many know when you fight temptation, it fights back? How many know it's relentless? So we have to be relentless. We have to have the heart to fight. And when you fight the source of temptation, whether it be your flesh, how many know that your sin nature is relentless? It fights. You get victory today, it fights tomorrow. It's awake. It's ready. The enemy, he's relentless. He fights. He counts on us to give up, to give in. He counts on us to move away. Heart is the big issue in walking out your walk. You have to have the heart to do it. If you don't, temptation wins. Everything in our sinful nature fights back. In fact, in Galatians 5:24, we're told this, those who belong to Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. That is violent. Nailing stuff to a cross is violent. That's fighting. He says, this is what we do. We have to have the heart to fight. I coached a lot in my life. I've coached many teams, been involved in sports and all that. And I'll tell you this, I'd rather have somebody with heart than talent. I'd rather have somebody that doesn't quit, that'll keep going, that'll fight till the horn blows, and then fight in the parking lot. Mike Tyson was right when he said this. He goes, everybody has a plan. Everybody has some beliefs. Everybody has thinking. And then what did he say? Until you get punched in the face. Why? Because when you get punched in the face, that's where you either have heart or don't have heart. When you're seeing stars, I've been punched in the face so hard that I literally saw stars. Now, if you're knocked out, that's, you're done for. But if you're seeing stars, to get back up and get in, that's all heart. That's why belief gets us nowhere if we don't have the heart to do it. How many know that in a relationship? You have to have a heart. Both people have to have hearts to make this thing work. There is the fight to death when it comes into our temptations. Our temptations come to destroy us. The enemy's plan and his mission is to kill, steal, and destroy. Well, then that has to be my mission against him. I have to come with the attitude that I will kill, I will steal everything he's tried to steal from me, and I will destroy him. I remember when my son died of an overdose, I remember sitting, and I remember this thought just came into my head. Are you done? You give up now? I remember thinking to myself, you don't know who you're talking to. You must have me confused with someone else. I'm not done. Are you freaking kidding me? That's not the line. I'm in it. I'm in it all the way. One of the things I like about so many of you, if you know what it's like to be in something. Yeah, probably was destructive in a lot of ways. But you know what it's about. You know, you fought for that. You exhibited great self-control in certain areas of life. Well, when we reverse that, somebody was at a church a few weeks ago and said, you know, I like the church, but these people are rough. A little rough around the edges. It's like, well, you know what? If I'm going to war, I want people rough around the edges. I want them a little edgy. I want them to climb out of the foxhole and charge. I don't want them back there. I want them, that's why I like this. I like you guys. But I want the best for you. So in these last number of weeks, I've given you a lot of information on how to overcome temptation. It will mean absolutely nothing if you don't have the heart to put it into effect. And so that's what we're going to be looking at. And in fact, this is what Romans 6:12 says, do not let sin control the way you live. So what does sin want to do? It wants to control the way I live. So I have to fight against that and choose the way I want to live. Yeah, but it's hard. And everything's hard. Right? Is it hard to go to work every day? But somehow we overcome that temptation. For you dope fiends, is it hard to be a dope fiend? You're darn tootin', it's hard. It's hard to be anything. Pick your heart. And be willing to fight. So listen, if you want to do this, there's three things you need to be willing to do. First one is this, you have to have the willingness to learn how to fight to win. If you keep losing in the war against temptation, you need to understand something. You have to be willing to learn to fight another way. So that means I have to overcome the temptation that says, don't tell anybody. You can figure it out on your own. You can do this. Don't go. If you just run over here, if you run away, if it doesn't work, quit using it. But then you have to have the fight to learn something new. You know what I hate most about watching a bully movie? Where these bullies, they beat the dude up all the time, usually in the halls too. It's, I don't know why, but they love to do it in the halls in school. And the same person that's getting beat up continues to walk down the hall. Dude, that doesn't work. You got to have the heart to do something else. Like that bat. When the bully turns around, you pick up the bat. And you let him have it. That's learning something different. You have to have that willingness. Is it not true? You have to have that. So secondly, the willingness to fight until I win. It does me no good to fight for a little bit. Quit thinking temptation is a 3-round fight. It may be a 50-round fight. It may be 50 rounds before the temptation even starts to get tired. So if it's 50 rounds, 150 rounds the rest of my life, what's that matter? I'm in it to win. I fight to win. And then the third thing is, I have to fight to sustain the win. In Sun Tzu's book he wrote on the art of war, he says, defeating an enemy is nothing unless you pursue him to ultimate defeat. Pursuing and fighting an enemy to where they retreat, you haven't won nothing. You have to pursue the enemy and destroy him. What if David would have taken the rocks, knocked out Goliath, hit him in the head, went over, stand over him, and start looking at, yeah! Yeah! Goliath would have... Snap! What did he do? He cut off his head. He cut off his head. That is violent. Some of us fight temptations like this. Stop it! God, I'm so tormented. What? Name one aspect of life that you've been successful in fighting like that. I don't get fat because I don't attack the food. Right? I don't have huge muscles like Chris and I have. Because I don't go to the gym. But I've read so much about bench pressing. I know so much. So you can actually lift the seat and it works some different muscles. Nothing changed. Nothing changed. I got to fight through it. I got to fight through it. I got to fight through my feelings. I'm tempted not to talk to Therese when I feel hurt. I'm tempted to do that. So what do I have to do? I have to do contrary action. I have to fight through that. I got to talk to her. Yeah, but it appear I'm weak. But I am. Why am I pretending I'm not? And it isn't weak to get help. In fact, listen what Scripture tells us in 2 Chronicles 16:9. It says, the eyes of the Lord, so the eyes of God, he's looking, search the whole earth in order to strengthen those. Oh, that's where strength comes from. Those whose hearts are fully committed to him. The heart is all about doing. The brain is about our belief systems, how we think. The heart is what gives us the power to do something. I'd much rather have people with heart. You can learn skills. And even then, heart makes up for a lot of stuff. I can possess all the fighting knowledge there is, but without heart to fight, I gain nothing. And thank God we're not left to our own devices on how to fight temptations. I've given you five of them over the last couple weeks, and I'll just repeat a couple of them for you today and then move forward. But listen, here's one of the keys to overcoming temptations in our lives. It's number four. Someone before you has successfully dealt with a similar temptation, which means they know how to win. That means there are people that know how to win what I am losing in. And then the fifth one is this. There are people, help comes through God and other foreigners traveling this path before us. There are people in my path that I can get help from. So I have to overcome the temptation that tells me not to ask for that, not to seek that. The temptation of a pro, you can do it yourself. No, you can't. If you're not winning, trying harder, doing the wrong things doesn't make you better. It just makes you tired. You have to learn something, and there are those. God has not left us alone. He has not left us to our own devices in overcoming temptation. And the word overcoming means to fight. You don't overcome something without a fight. How many of us have felt given into this temptation? Do not be misled. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you thought and stop sinning. How many of us have thought, you know what, I'm going to change something in my life, but I can still hang with that crew? The temptation is to still hang with them. That is the recipe for disaster. You're being misled. Misled by what? My thinking. This is where the battle is fought. This is where the heart has to deal with it. It's a big, big deal. The word bad, and by the way, in Greek, is evil, criminal, wrongdoing, harmful things. So that word, bad company, also applies to harmful things. Do not think I can do harmful things and not be harmed. How many have ever thought that? Hey, I'm that one guy, not like the other people, who can play with fire and never get burned. I'm not like, that's a lie. That you're being misled. I have to fight. Well, if I give up that, what do I got to do different? You got to do a lot of things different. Ooh, I'm not good at that. Well, obviously. But that's how you get good at it. Okay. So it comes out. So then we have the sixth help, which is this. We have God's manual on how to live while on earth. His book, which is a gift from him to each of us. Why do you think God gave us the Bible in written form? So we can look at it a lot. So we can read it a lot. It is always there. In fact, this is what Hebrews 4 says in verse 12. For the word of God, the Bible, is alive and powerful. Well, I need power then. I need power to overcome these things. But what are we oftentimes tempted when it comes to the Bible? I'm tired. I just don't have time. We act like it's a salesman at the door we don't want to see. It's like we have thinking around that. How many of us have this when it comes to the Bible? Oh, God. Oh, wow. As soon as you open it up, you know, the dishes need to be done. I could do some laundry while I'm doing this. Anybody ever notice the temptation to sleep as soon as you get the Bible? Here's the thing. Don't read it in bed. Well, something I'll throw out to you. Read it with a cup of coffee. You get up in the morning. Yes, that's overcoming. I have to fight that. I have to fight that myself. You think I jump up every day feeling like reading or doing anything, really? I don't feel like doing a lot of stuff. I put a fan together yesterday. I was tempted not to do it, but if I didn't do it, who's going to do it? You know those fans you buy at Home Depot? There's 795 parts in there. It looks great in the picture spinning, but you got to put all that together. Then you have to take down the old one. It's like, you know what? I'm tempted. The old one looks pretty good. What I'll do is dust the, whatever those things are, the blades. How many of us don't even do that? See the blade all the time. Someone should really get up there and do that. How many walk by the trash all the time? Rarely am I tempted to pick it up. And I fight that temptation. I fight that hard. Yeah, some of us think temptations are all these other things. If I can't win the little ones, what makes me think I'm going to win the big ones? How does that happen? It doesn't. What's the thing with making your bed up in the morning? Who came up with that crazy idea? But that practice, it builds something in us. It gives us victories. It gives us a little victory. Okay. So the word of God is powerful, alive, and sharp. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. What a great weapon. That's really going to help. It says a cutting between soul and spirit. You and I are body, soul, and spirit. The sword of God, the word of God, can cut between our spirit and our soul. It can discern things in the realm. Is this spiritual? Is this a soul wound? What is going on here? And the word speaks to us. And not only that, it says between joint and marrow. Joint and marrow, where's that at? It's in your body. So it has the ability to speak to our spirit, to speak to our soul, and to speak to our body. Things that are going on with us. And it's sharp. It cuts well. When you're in a fight, I don't know if you guys have ever used weapons in a fight, but I haven't. But you know what? I want a sharp one if I do. Okay, that's a little insight for you there on that. I like a sharp knife. Have you ever cut steak without a sharp knife? I know after a while it's like, argh. But then again, I'm tempted to sharpen it. How many know that? You know what I bought the other day? I quit the guessing game on cooking meat. My whole life, I guessed at how to cook meat. You know, there's this little thing called a digital thermometer that'll tell you right off the bat what the temperature is and what you want it to be at. It even comes with an instruction book. I was never tempted to use that. So cooking meat was an iffy thing. Now it's like, I gave in. I'm using that thing. I'm getting a necklace for it. It's a tool. It's a tool in the kitchen. How many of us go around life? I don't got any tools. I don't need them, though. I'll guess. How many of us relationship-wise thought that relationships should just happen? If you found the right person, then it's magic. And if it isn't, you found the wrong person. No, it's work. It's work. And then it can become a great thing. But both people have to work at it. So, says, listen, not only that, it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. His book is alive for everything in our creation. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. He gets to the root of stuff. God doesn't buy our excuses. You ever notice that? People can. I can. I buy my own. But God never buys. He never goes, good point, Joe. That makes perfect sense. And you're never enlightening God. You ever stand naked in front of someone or in the mirror? It's there, baby. I can't pretend these things aren't here. I know girls worry about muffin tops, and I never did, but now it's like, oh, I got one. It is definitely a little much for the pants. I know. So I'm tempted to watch what I eat. Failing miserably. I'm not willing to fight. Like everybody, you know, thank God for me. Not thank God for my life is that I'm married to Therese and she's all about the food. And she's all about good eating and this. And so I've come to believe a lot of it. And so it's changed the way I eat, you know. But then I feel like sometimes when I'm not with her, it's like... Like Sunday, I always come out here and look at the donuts over there. But I've been able to maintain some self-discipline and only eat one or two. And because I'm a man of, you know, character. So, and he is the one we're held accountable to. So number six, God's word. And then number seven, he gives us, we also have God's Spirit who will teach us all things. And one of those things is how to deal with temptations, how to fight. And so the Holy Spirit resides within us. He is always our helper. In fact, he's called the Paraclete, the helper. He's the one that helps us. But I have to want the help.
That's right.
I have to want it. Then I have to fight to apply it. And I got to come against the temptation. And I can win. I can win over temptations when I fight them. When I don't, there's no hope. And remember, the temptation fights back. So, the Holy Spirit teaches us all things. So, listen, I'm going to give you real quickly the seven methods that I've given you over the last 3 weeks on how we can overcome temptation, and God's Word has given us those. First of all, this thing, before we even go on, temptations are a common part of life for everyone. Temptations are here to stay. Temptations are for everyone. So what's the first methodology? Temptation is always an attack on identity. You're not worth anything. You're this, you're that. You can't do it. You'll never succeed. You're a problem. You got too many problems. Whatever. It's always an attack on who we are. Satan operates from the perspective, number two, everyone has their price to leave God. So he will probe what your price is. What will it take? Think in your head. Think in your head. What would it take for me to leave walking with God? What devastating trauma? What thing would happen? When you can say nothing, nothing. Like I said, when that thought came about my son and then with my daughter, I'm angry. I've got feelings. I got all kinds of stuff around that. But what I don't have around it is walking with God. That's what I don't have around it. I'm sold out to that. I'm sold out. I will give that guy nothing. If he takes something and God allows it, that's beyond me. But I'm giving him nothing. I'm not giving him nothing. I hate him. I hate it. I hate what I see junk do to people like you, people I care about, my own family. I hate it. So, temptations distort the word of God by lying to us and telling us we can test God. We can do crazy things and God's got to pick us up. No, we don't. And secondly, the way I think about something is another lie, is thinking that the way I think about something is the way God thinks about it too. No, we don't. That's one of the reasons we bail on God. How could God ever allow that? How could God allow this to happen in my childhood or that to happen? What I've learned is if God wants you to reach certain types of people, he's got to give you commonality. And nobody jumps to the commonality. Oh, God wants to reach chronically ill. God, can I have cancer? Nobody ever volunteers for that. He wants to reach people that are divorced. Some of his kids got to go through divorce. They didn't even want it. God wants to reach people that have been victims. We get to be victims. But when we navigate through it, that paves the way for someone else to deal with the same temptations you'll deal with when you deal with it, these things. And on and on and on. Someone said before you has successfully dealt with a similar temptation. You're not blazing any trail. Number five, help comes through God and other foreigners traveling this path before us. There's help available. We have to reach out for it. And that's why your stories are important. How you've navigated trouble or how you're in the midst of stuff now and how you got through it is important. Never hide that. Because that, if you've successfully navigated things, you're in a position to help others. Number six, we have God's manual on how to live. We already covered that. We also have God's Spirit to teach us. So what is this? Seven things. How do I apply it? How do I fight for that? Well, here's the eighth one, and this is the big one, and we won't have time today to really get into it. We will do next time. My thinking has to be transformed. I have to think differently about whatever the temptation is than what I used to think about it. That is the beginning of getting a heart to do it. If I think the same way I always thought, I always get what I always got. Definition of insanity. Definition of bondage. So I have to do stuff differently. Information must be applied to be effective. And in order for it to be applied, it has to be believed that it would help. You know, when I was coaching, I took over a team that hadn't won a game in 3 years. And when I took over and started to try to introduce some... these guys went into every game knowing they were going to lose. It was just a matter of how bad and, oh God, I hope it goes quick. And the guys that stayed, that had some kind of heart to stay, lots of guys quit. I like getting beat up as much as the next guy, but after a while, and they had no new tools to compensate for whatever it was they were lacking, and they didn't believe they would win, and so as soon as they got behind, they were done. So when I come in and start introducing some new techniques and how to block and how to move your hips to get position and how to exercise leverage and this and that, they all looked at me like, I don't know. That's a lot of work. You want us to come every day, Monday through Friday, to practice? Yes, and a lot of Saturdays. I don't know. But once they started to do it and they began to see that the information given them was changing them and their skill set and their level, it got to the place, well, we won league like 4 years in a row, went to the finals and all this other kind of stuff. They'd run through a wall. They believed me so much that if I told them, you know what, the best way to get outside is don't use the door, use that wall. They'd go, okay, because they believed. When you believe, you get heart, whatever it is you believe in. You get the heart to do it. So we need help, and that has to be transformed in our thinking. Romans 12:2 tells us this, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. And it's not that world, it's your world, the world you grew up in, the world that shaped you. That's the world it's talking about. Don't copy that any longer. He says, but let God transform you into a new person. So something's got to change. How? By changing the way you think. How many of us sitting here today used to think something was real good and today you think it's really bad? And something that you used to think was really bad, today you think that's really good. How many of us that had parents that were good parents tell us some information when we were younger and we'd look at them like, you're crazy. And then years later we go, you know, that was brilliant. How many of us as parents have done that with our own kids? I got the 5-year-old. What forms this crazy thinking in the world we live in? It's our childhood. It's our childhood. Paul tells us this. He says this in verse 2 Corinthians 10. Oops. Where am I at? I need 5. Just the way I planned it. I got another copy over here. Come on, Joe. Oh, yeah. Okay. 1 Corinthians 13, 11. Paul says this. See, your thinking was formed. It came into your life through your childhood experiences. Paul says this. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. I spoke, I thought, and I reasoned, I experienced, I did the stuff as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things means to kill them, to put them out of your life. He says, listen, now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. So he says, when I was a child, six things I've already shared with you guys before shaped the way I look at the earth, the world, my family, my upbringing in the family. Was it safe? Was it nurturing? Was it scary? Was it unpredictable? Was it secure? Was it stable? Was it not? Did I grow up in a mom and dad home? Did I grow up in foster care? Did I grow up with grandparents? Did I grow up? What happened? Neighborhood. What kind of neighborhood did I grow up in? Safe, fit, unsafe, fun? Were there neighbor kids around? Third, school. Well, how did I do in school? Did I succeed? Did I drop out? Was school a big deal in my family? Did anybody ever check the report cards? Or was school everything? What was school to me? Was I popular? A nerd? Cool kid? Rebel? What was it? Show me your friends, I'll tell you what you were. Fourth one is, what was the traumas in my life? Divorce, molestation, death. What traumatized me growing up? Well, how did that affect me? Fifth one, financial. Secure? Scary? What was money like in our family? Did we have? Did we not have? And the sixth one, religion. What was there? Was there none? Was it great? Was it hypocritical? What was going on? All that forms the way a child thinks. And they think they know way more than they do. Remember when you first found out about sex? What? First of all, it was gross as heck. And you can't believe mom and dad. That just is gnarly. All that, you know, and you're telling everybody. Well, what if you're exposed when you're a little kid and you're molested and you're taken to places that you shouldn't be taken to in your world? How does that affect you? So, and that forms, all that stuff forms the way we look at the world. And then he says, as I grow as an adult, and a child thinks they know it all. My little five-year-old loves to help. He loves to help everything we do. He wants to help. And he doesn't want me to show him nothing because he knows. He knows already. I know how to do that. Dude, you never done it before in your life. I barely know how to use the circular saw I'm having you use right now. Goggles? We don't need no stinking goggles. I got to get out of here because you guys we're going late. So what did he say? I put away. What's the difference between childhood thinking and adult thinking? Adults know they don't know everything. Except for that adult you run into who knows everything. That's childish thinking. An adult understands, as Paul would tell us, looking in the mirror and not seeing everything clearly. I know I don't know. The older I get, the more I know I don't know. I don't understand everything. So that means I have to be taught and I need to be open. Paul says, listen, that childish thinking that we take into our adulthood needs to be put away, which means I need to be transformed in the way I think about things. I need help in that. I never saw my parents ever talk about money. My mom and dad didn't even take me to get a checkbook. I didn't even know what that really was all about. I didn't know a lot of stuff I didn't know. I never saw my parents resolve conflict. My dad would throw things, my mom would scream, and then it would be mellow, and we never saw nothing after. How does that work? I didn't know. I saw violence, I shied away from violence. I don't know how to healthily deal with this stuff. And I marry somebody that doesn't know either. Because birds of a feather attract each other. So we both made this big journey after 5 years of chaotic marriage. We went on a 5-year journey when I got saved and sober of learning going to all these classes on marriage, going to all this stuff on how to deal with relationships, how to be self-controlled, how to deal with anger and not be a nuthead. That was weird. I thought Therese loved housework. I thought chicks loved housework. It always baffled me. Why do you guys like it so much? She goes, I don't like it at all. It's like, what? My mom sure liked it. I didn't know she hated it. I should have clued in when my dad got her a vacuum for her birthday and she threw it. So that's a perfectly new vacuum. Way to go, Dad. Make her job easier. Oh my God. I thought taking the trash out sporadically was my job. Not all the time. And making sure that thing's got to be full. I had a lot to learn, but I had childhood thinking. Why? Because I observed these things. All right, we're running late. So here's the deal. Next week, we'll talk about how we do that, because this is what childhood thinking, this is what makes it so difficult in overcoming temptations. It builds strongholds in us. Childhood thinking builds fortifications in us that are hard to break. And so we have this battle going on in our head. And that's why you need heart, because to destroy a stronghold, as we'll see in 2 Corinthians 10, to destroy a stronghold, you have to have the heart to keep coming against it. It doesn't concede easily. All right, so can we stand up? Let's give my apologies to the children's church. They know it's a fake apology anyway, so maybe if it comes from you, it'll be better. I'm going to lead you in a prayer about the willingness to fight temptations. And okay, everybody in here's got some temptation you're dealing with that you're dealing with in your life. You can be a control freak. You can think you have more power than you do. You can think you're less than. You have the tendency to believe you're less than. We got all kinds of stuff. We got a sin that we just can't seem to get a victory over or sustain a victory. So my prayer for you today is that you'll pray for heart to fight the fight and learn new things. Be willing to learn some new ways. How many want to do that? Okay, Lord Jesus, I confess that I need more heart to overcome the temptations that overcome me. I give up too easily. I get discouraged too quickly. And I think it should be easy. I renounce all that. And I confess I'm in it to win it. I need to learn more. And I need to learn how to sustain victory. I ask you, Holy Spirit, teach me. Give me a hunger for the word. Give me a willingness to let others in who can fight alongside me. And I thank you for that. I want to fight the good fight. I want to fight like Paul says. I fought the good fight. This is a good fight. And I want to win. Please help me. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.